Speak up. You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
To Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Stolo, Catesy, Kwikwetlem, and other Coast Salish peoples. My name is Jesse, and I am joined in studio this morning by Craig. Hello, Craig.
Howdy.
How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Jesse.
Craig is a new volunteer here at CJSF. You sat in on a show with Magnus, I want to say, at some point earlier, or someone else?
No, it was someone else.
Maybe Panjali or Chiara?
Yeah, I think one of them. I'm awful with remembering names.
Sure. So it's not quite your maiden voyage, as it were, but it is early on in your CJSF career. Craig's just going to hang out, get a feel for what Speak Up's like, and then maybe one day you'll be here in my chair. We got a bunch of stuff to get into today, including an interview done by another new CJSF volunteer, Ava, who interviewed local hardcore-ish punk band Brass about the band Brass and about their upcoming performance at the Sled Island Festival in Calgary, which CJSF is a sponsor for. So we'll play that. We'll play a little bit of music by Brass. We'll play a little bit of music by other artists, and we'll talk, and we'll do, you know, all the stuff we usually do here on Speak Up on Thursday. So we will get into that. But to begin with, we will play some more music. This is one of my favorite discoveries over the last couple of years, Black Belt Eagle Scout, from her stellar record, The Land, the Water, the Sky. This one is called My Blood Runs Through This Land.
Thank you.
Runs Through This Land by Black Belt Eagle Scout. Some heavy shoegazy folk inspired stuff. We're working through the alternate studio here this morning. Studio B, Studio A undergoes repairs, and so things are a little bit different than they usually are, and some of the faders are a little squeaky. So just bear with us if you hear anything weird. Just assume it's on purpose. Yeah, it's me, Jesse, here with Craig. We are pretty soon going to get into the interview with Brass that I teased at the beginning of the show, but we might as well provide a little bit of context around the interview and around Brass and all these things. So, Craig, how familiar are you with the local punk scene?
Not at all.
Not at all. Great. Well, then maybe you share that in common with a listener or two. Vancouver, to provide you and listeners with a little background myself, I host another show called The Vancouver Mixtape, which is all about Vancouver's independent music scene. When we started the show about 10 years ago, we were much more focused on the punk side of things, and we've mellowed out a little bit as we've gotten older. Myself and my co-host Jamie, we still like rock music and punk music and all that, but our palettes have broadened, I guess. But Brass is a band that has been around for almost a decade, about as long as my other show, The Vancouver Mixtape, and they've just been sort of chugging away, making loud, relatively angry music. I've heard it described as music to get angry at your landlords by, which is kind of fun. And like many bands, especially punk bands, you know, you do this because either you believe in what you're singing about or you love making music, right? Like you love the act of being in a band and making loud, heavy music, or maybe just because you like the community that comes with it. It's funny. You know, the image of punk is very aggressive and loud and angry and maybe even, like, intimidating. But I find once you sort of join the scene, once you go and take part in the show and meet people, the community is almost always very, very welcoming and very welcoming to anyone. Anyone is welcome to come in and express their dissatisfaction with the current system, which I think more and more people can probably relate to, and I think if you're listening to CJSF, you're probably, you know, dissatisfied with the system in that you'd rather listen to our weird commercial or campus radio as opposed to a big commercial station or one of the public stations. So, I think there's value for you to listen to this interview with a punk band, a local punk band, and see how, like I said, they've been plugging away for 10 years. They just got their first ever show in Toronto 10 years in, which sort of gives you a bit of an idea of the scale of the project and how long it can take and how much work it can take to get to the point that you're playing shows like on the other side of the country, never mind like being a big popular band. So I'm trying to decide. I think we're going to do interview first, and then after the interview, we'll give you an example of Brass's music. They give a lot of recommendations for bands to listen to, and so get out your notebook and note some of those down. For now, let's get into Ava's interview with Brass, which runs about 16 minutes. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back and chat.
All right, so I'm Ava. I am here with Devin and Zach from Brass. If you guys want to introduce yourselves again.
Hey, I'm Zach. I play guitar in Brass.
And I'm Devin, and I do vocals in Brass.
Yeah. So I'm here with these two. Obviously, we wish that we had everybody else here. They're in Toronto. Can you tell me anything about your upcoming shows? It seems like it's going to be a big travel week for you guys.
Yeah, we're headed to Toronto tomorrow.
Nice.
To play. Actually, I think it's the first time Brass has ever played Toronto, which is really exciting. First time we've ever played Toronto, you know, after being a band for a decade, so it only took that long.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it. Yeah.
I don't know where to point this thing. So how do you feel?
I feel excited. I feel nervous, you know. I want us to keep it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want us to put on a good show.
Sorry. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I hope you guys play an awesome show in the six. And I had a question about your guys' origins, I guess. So what drew you guys into playing music initially? And then if you want to answer for the other three, you're welcome to.
Well, I know why Kennedy started.
Why's that?
He couldn't help it, I guess. He was born just with a song in his heart, and he singing in church and... The hymnals and...
He was coming up in the gospel scene?
Yeah, in the gospel and Ukrainian dance. Shumka, Edmonton. He did Ukrainian dance, yeah.
That's awesome.
And he was an altar boy, so I think that had a big effect on his psyche. And just wanted to be in front of people, so so we started playing bass.
You should talk on Kennedy's behalf more often.
Yeah. No, that's good.
If I had to guess how Kennedy feels, I would say that is probably how he feels.
That's a good little soundbite. How about you?
Tristan and I, we met at music school like a decade ago and started a band out of obligation.
Nice.
Nobody else would start a band with us.
Oh. Was it part of the grade?
We had to like fulfill recording like time, and so we needed like stuff to do, so we started a band, and that was like one or two bands ago, but
okay.
that's why it started.
Right, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And so this one I'm really curious about. I was telling you that I had that Brass Sucks patch on my backpack throughout high school.
Nice.
People come up to me like every day, be like, "Oh, what's your beef against trombones?" I'm really curious. I would have to like walk them through it and explain it. Like, "Oh, it's a band."
That's awesome.
But where did you guys come up for the name Brass? What was your inspiration for that one? And then little part two of that, did you have any funny iterations of band names before that you can share?
Well, before Brass, one of those bands I was referring to, Tristan, we were in what was called Goodnight Buffalo, which is a terrible name. Just an embarrassingly bad name. I'm really glad we axed that. And before that, it was a Pavilion, which was a play on Pavi, because that was the name of the school.
Okay.
And that was pretty bad, too.
Well, if you went there.
Yeah, in particular. I think we just wanted a badass name that was one word, and that was, like, the only one we could find that wasn't a band. But it turns out it was, and then they started beef with us.
Really?
They did, yeah.
Were they Vancouver? Were they...
They were a Vancouver band called The Brass, who I believe moved to, like, the States and started another band. Oh, shit. They moved to L.A. and became a hardcore band. I can't remember their
name. Are they, like, known?
I think so.
Okay. Have you noticed, I was mentioning this earlier, there's another Vancouver band called Brasser.
Brasser, yeah. It's the same guys from the Brass Action.
A lot of brass names.
A lot of brass names going on. And however, yeah, we were the OG. not even close.
Yeah. You're the OG where it matters.
The OG.
Which is CJSF.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So, where did you guys draw your inspiration for playing music? Like, what did you listen to growing up, and do you think that had a ton of impact on your guys' sound now?
Well, again, if I had to guess what Kennedy would say. He listened to a lot of polka growing up in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. But, you know, like, the tuba is the main big instrument in the polka.
Well, there's brass.
And there's the brass, yeah. And there's...
I knew we were drawn to him for a reason.
Yeah.
He's got those brass roots in Ukrainian polka.
Yeah, so it's really, like, because you only hit the one in the, like, boom, boom, boom. And Kennedy holds it down like a red-faced Ukrainian tuba player.
That's true, he really does.
How about you? What did you listen to growing up, and do you think that had any sway on what you like to play today?
If it had any influence on brass, it'd probably be front person stuff. So bands like At the Drive-In, because Cedric's a lunatic. And I think the dude who's the singer of Refused.
I couldn't tell you, actually.
Shape, Bunch of Gum.
That kind of thing.
Refused, that kind of thing. I think, like, really, like punk rock where there was... chaos on stage. That's
At the Drive-In is definitely a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, I think that's a pretty huge band for me.
And you like the Alex Alexis on Fire.
Oh, too. God, Alexis on Fire, yeah.
That kind of
God,
shit.
I love that band.
Yeah. You really like the, like, scrams, like, adjacent, like, not, like, screamo, but, like...
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, Thrice was a big one for me as a kid, and I know that's one that, like, is a pretty, like, a lot of people don't like that band, or, like, it's kind of, like, emo or whatever, but Thrice is one of, the, like, my favorite bands ever. As a singer, had a big impact on me. His, like, vocal tone and shit, I think I try to emulate it. But let me talk on behalf of Tristan.
Yeah, okay.
I know for a fact that Tristan's biggest jams, he was a big guy on ZZ Top.
That's his,
you know... big go-to, but also he's a big sucker for the desert scene, that like
the desert
Caius and Desert Sessions and Queens of the Stone Age and like Mark Lanigan and that thing.
Nice.
So that's Tristan's jam. Tristan's a lot of his like songwriting and guitar playing is heavily influenced by that whole desert scene.
Yeah, like stoner kind of
stoner rock,
but like better. Like,
let's just talk on behalf of Kennedy and Tristan for the rest of the interview.
You can put your Kennedy and Tristan hats on.
Yeah, we'll just... And Rory's going to go unrepresented in this interview.
Yeah, unrepresented.
Sorry, Rory.
Rory's a fisherman, though, so...
Well, yeah, but the nice thing about Rory, too, is he's so goddamn, like, palpable and ambiguous that, like, he's everything, you know? What kind of music does Rory listen to? Yeah, he listens to music.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys just listens to anything.
Yeah, Rory just goes with the flow.
He listens to the wind. But yeah, also for me and Kennedy in seriousness, like, Queens of the Stone Age was a huge one for us as, like, kids. That kind of just rock, but more interesting, I suppose. You know?
Rock, but more interesting.
that makes
awesome.
a good soundbite
for them to use. Yes. Yeah. We play rock, but it's a little more interesting than that. But wait, there's more.
So, we mentioned earlier you guys have a ton of travel coming up, and I know that you guys went all across Canada and all across Europe. I was wondering if you guys have any favorite gigs you played or any favorite towns you've been in, Canada or Europe?
Well, I'll field the Europe side of that. You can field the Canada side of that.
Sure.
Favorite spot in Europe, hands down, is Slovenia.
Ooh.
Cool.
Slovenia fucks so hard. That town rip, like, whole
country. What's the town you played in?
We played in several, and I'm not going to even attempt to pronounce them in front of the microphone and embarrass myself. But we played in two different cities, and both of them, we, like, stayed in, like, squats, like, just, like, weird artist hovels, like, in, like, decrepit buildings, and it was amazing. And they, like, put you up, and they party, and they, you know, whatever, and blah, 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 and it's a great community. So Slovenia and Slovakia, those, like, Eastern Europe, that was the shit. That was the absolute shit. And the gigs were great, and everybody was just really happy to see you, and that was nice.
They probably liked the punk, the heavy rock and shit over there. Yeah.
It was weird, too, because you come into these towns, and you're like, well, this looks like a sleepy European town, and this gig's going to be a total bust. And then, like, weirdos just start coming out of the woodwork, and all of a sudden it's a packed gig in, like, you know, the woods in Slovenia, and you're like, this whips.
That sounds like a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, now I'm going to go to Slovenia next time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's good. I wish I could... I can remember, it's like Irska Bitriska or something like that. That's like the capital. It's like two words. I don't know. It was awesome. It was awesome.
That's like, how about Canada?
Canada, well, I've played a lot of Canadian shows with my old band, or still existing, but predating this band, Dead Fibers, which applies to Kennedy as well, because he was also in that band. But with Brass, I've only played Vancouver, Calgary. That was fun.
Sounds like there was some kind of hijinks in Calgary.
We just played probably the worst show.
Yeah, maybe it was maybe the worst show, or maybe the most embarrassed I've ever been on stage.
It was maybe the worst show that's ever happened in Calgary.
Yeah.
No, probably not.
I get bugged about it still when I come to Calgary, unrelated to music. Just have people show up and they're like, oh, yeah, heard about that show.
Well, you know, you guys are about to have another shot at Calgary.
We're having another shot at Calgary. Yeah,
you
we're
going
to
bring it back in.
Where is it? Is it Pin Bar?
Pin Bar.
I've never played Pin Bar. Oh, sorry, but I cut you off. What's your favorite Canadian?
Yeah.
Canadian city? Oh, I'm from Edmonton, you know, gotta love it, but... No, I like, I'll go with Winnipeg.
Oh,
Winnipeg.
A little coming out of left field there, I wouldn't have thought.
No, absolute left field. Nice work, buddy.
Winnipeg, yeah.
Getting on their toes.
Winnipeg is Edmonton's unofficial but spiritual sister city. Because it's in the middle of nowhere, and it's windy and flat and cold, and nobody gives a shit that you're out there. Freezing, out in the cold.
That's why you both have rabid hockey fans.
Yeah, that's why people are rabid about everything, but they're also rabid about supporting and uplifting their community.
Well, you know what the root word of Winnipeg is?
What?
Win.
So, but no, but they like that. It's just like good people out there, and like they're both places that like the music industry or whatever like skips over. So like, I've always found those people incredibly welcoming. It's like a similar kind of community to what I was used to in Edmonton. Like, you know.
Good answer, but
yeah,
Winnipeg's
sweet.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, Winnipeg's awesome. So shout out to Winnipeg.
To the Peggers?
The Peggers.
Shout out to the Peggers.
So I saw in you guys' interview with the Vancouver Guardian that your current favorite local band was Stutter. I saw them at the Tandy a couple months ago. I thought they put on a great show. I was wondering if there's any other local bands that you guys have your eyes on right now.
That's a good question, because who are we going to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a lot of pressure.
Whose tires do I want to pull?
Yeah, who do we want to elevate?
No, there's so many good bands right now. You know what I will say? This is a scene I don't really, like, dabble in much, but the, like, death metal scene. I went to a death metal show the other day, and I saw Scalding and Witch of the Waste.
Okay.
And both were incredible, and I like got me feeling some sort of feelings, and I was like, do I love death metal? Like, holy shit. Or it was at Antisocial.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was so good. Scalding and Witch of the Waste.
So, Antisocial Skate?
Yeah, like in the skate shop. They just clear out the shop and they play. And it was like, man, both those bands were so tight. And I was like, I gotta go to more death metal shows.
Yeah.
Because those bands are excellent.
I don't think I've ever seen death metal.
Me neither. Yeah.
I think live, it's like, it's a whole other vibe, right? It's just this wall of noise and these, like, awesome chord changes and just, like, it's just great.
Punishing, pummeling.
It's pummeling, but it's, like, mostly, like, death metal's, like distorted, like, heavier shoegaze.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just, once you fall into the soup of it, you're like, yeah, this is amazing. Anyways, yeah, so I'm going to shout out those two bands.
That's sick. Do you have any specific, or do you want to bandwagon onto
it? There's, like, also, like, all those kids, like, that, like, Sterling, that put on that show that we played at the Astoria, like, all those kids that are doing, like, the kind of, like, noise adjacent kind of shit. Those guys are awesome. And there's that one kid that always wears those, like, speed glasses that is, like, nuts on the drums that we played with at Redgate.
Probably because of the glasses.
It's probably because of the glasses. He always wears, like, a Guy Fieri shirt with flames. He looks like he's, like, 16 years old, and he's, like, a crazy drunk. Or go to the Black... Last time I was at the Black Lab, I went to see a Pier band, and there was just, like, the craziest shit I ever seen at that show.
That's a good answer. Because you'd be like, what's a good local band? But it's like, if you want to go see a good local show, just go to a venue.
Yeah.
Black Lab, Red Gate, Green Auto, basically all the venues that start with a color.
Any venue that's like borderline illegal, like there's probably something.
Yeah,
like,
you go to those on the weekend and you're gonna find a good venue.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
That's sick. Thank you guys for those recommendations. I'm going to make a new playlist off of those. So I was just wondering, so aside from Sled, what's next for you guys? Are you working on anything exciting that you can tell us about?
Well, if I can speak on behalf of Zach,
who's
right beside me.
Yes.
He's moving to Nelson.
Oh.
Nelson, British Columbia, pretty soon.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Nelson adjacent. Winlaw.
So before that happens, I know
we're getting married too.
Oh, you're getting married.
Congratulations.
Shout out my fiance, Kiana.
Shout out to Kiana. But anyways, which gives us a couple months to play a handful of shows here. I think we're doing Sled, North by Northeast, and Turbo Fest, which is on Gibson's adjacent. But we have a bunch of new songs written, so another EP or another record is right around the corner, I'm sure. Yeah, just a couple shows this summer and a couple songs ready to go in the chamber, and we'll see what happens here, bud.
Yeah, we got some material in the way, though. It's going to be a little while. I'm moving, so it's going to be a little bit, like, you know, figuring that out.
Zach may have been the last person to join the band, but he's become so pivotal that
we're at a screeching halt when he leaves.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I know that's not the first time this happens. You were in Australia for a while, right?
That's true. I was, like, 5 months or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you've just done your research, you can do before.
Hey, this is like Nardwar.
Well, fantastic. I mean, I'm no Nardwar, but I think that that just about wraps it up. Is there anything else coming up that you guys want to talk about that you haven't talked about yet?
The United States government is really close to officially disclosing that aliens are a real phenomenon. There's a whistleblower presenting information to Congress right now. His name is David Grush. I will not be silenced! That is true, yeah.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
David Grush, look him up. He actually presented information to Congress, and the Inspector General said this is very credible and worth investigating.
That's true.
So it's going to be a thing.
All right, you heard it here, folks. You know, read a good book, eat an apple a day, and be good to all people of creeds and nations. Let's go. Woo!
Woo!
Fantastic. Here.
Thank you.
You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered about the most long. Because deep in the air, I know what's happening.
Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. You heard that song from the record Look on the Bright Side, which came out last October. And before that, you heard an interview with Devin of Brass and CJSF volunteer Ava. talking about all sorts of stuff, talking about good local bands, and I really liked the answer that the best way to find a local band you like is to go to a local show. That's how I, well, I got into, yeah, that's how I got into a lot of local bands is by going to shows, and then obviously hosting a radio show about local music helped in that regard too. Two things that you out there, you can do if you want. You can be like Craig and come and sit in on a show. You can come volunteer, get trained to host your own radio show. You can attend events and write reviews. If you want to attend a local show and write a review for our website or come and talk about it on the radio, that's something you can do. Or if you have other wild ideas, this is the place for them. Our goal is to help you realize your radio dreams. So if you've got an idea that is wild or ordinary or just specific to you, let us know. You can get in touch with our volunteer coordinator Juanita, at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. That's V-O-L, the number 4, CJSF, at sfu.ca. Or if you want to do talk stuff, you can email me, Jesse, cjsfpa@sfu.ca. Or if you want to just dive right in, you can go to cjsf.ca/signup and fill out the form, and Juanita will get in touch. So, yeah, we listened to some punk in the first little bit, and now we have the whole, almost the whole second half of the show. So, Craig, you're here, you've joined us, and I wanna give you a chance to chime in a little bit. Off mic, we were talking a little bit about, and you're going to have to forgive me because I've forgotten the specific name of the film organization that you are a member of.
The VIF Center, yes.
So that's the Vancouver International Film Festival Center?
Yes.
Tell me about the organization and what your membership means.
Well, I'm a newer member this year. It was a gift from my brother for Christmas, but I'm a big fan of film, and over the last couple of years, I've really started to get into the more smaller, independent, and classic, like outside of the, you know, big budget blockbusters. And that's really what the VIF Center and other film centers really strive to do. They strive to show films that are outside of the common, you know, multiplexes. And I find, for anybody who thinks, like, oh, that may not be for me, or, you know, I'm fine with just the, you know, Marvel film released every couple of months, I would suggest, like, going to these kind of films there, because I have a membership, but you don't need one. You can buy a ticket, like, online or up front. And I find it can really help see a different perspective. Like, a couple months ago, I saw this film called Make Way for Tomorrow. It's a classic film from 1937 about an old couple who have to move in with their children because they've lost their home due to the, you know, Great Depression in the 30s. And, like, it was an interesting film. It's hard to explain because I don't want to give away the ending.
Sure.
But it was one of those films where, like, I find with, like, anything, like, you know, the current day films of, like, you know, like Transformers or Marvel, like, I'll watch it and then, you know, it'll be interesting and I'll forget about it. But this was, like, one that, you know, it really, like, stuck with me, just the ideas the film was saying and just the, like, in, you know, all the little intricacies about, like, in 1937, this was still deep in the Hays Code, which was a form of, like, rules, you know, Hollywood had to follow, self-imposed, so the government didn't do it. It's all kinds of things. Like, it specifically mentions, you know, you're not allowed to include white slavery, and it also mentions, you know, like stuff about, you know, marital stuff. So there are times where, like, the well, like someone will go into the bedroom of the husband and wife will go into their bedroom, and there are twin beds in the bedroom.
Of course.
And it's little things like that that you notice, and just like, you know, like everything's like real in terms of the film. There's no special effects and all that. And that's something that, you know, I wouldn't have discovered had I not gone to, like, seen that at the Viv Center and seen those kind of films. Because, like, it really does give you a more of an appreciation for films. So, last week I went to the annual general meeting for the Viv Center. And the annual, and I'd been to a couple of annual general meetings of different organizations, so I kind of knew what to expect, but it was interesting to see that because, like, they mentioned that coming out of the pandemic, you know, a lot of film, you know, appreciation nonprofits like them haven't done as well because, you know, the pandemic really took a chunk out of a lot of businesses, but theaters especially.
Totally.
But they've actually really come out of the pandemic better than most. And that's allowing them to do a lot more events than that. Like, I know this summer they're doing a whole tribute to the 80s with a bunch of 80s films, which that's another benefit of these film centers. You can see classic films on the big screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's, you know, back in the 80s, they weren't building movies for Betamax. They were building them for the theatrical experience. So I'm excited to go and see that. I'm excited that they're still getting people going to the film center and seeing movies like that because it'd be great to see people have experience like I did with Make Way for Tomorrow, where it's something that you really get to think about and something that really, you know, is eye-opening in a time where there can feel like a lot of sameness in not just film but in entertainment in general.
Totally. I think there's a couple things there I want to pick apart. One is obviously the idea that VIF has of sort of highlighting content that you're not going to see other places, right? That's something that CJSF shares, right? Like, that's one of the sort of community media goals is to help expose ourselves and you, the audience, to stuff that you wouldn't hear or come in contact with otherwise. So I love that. The second was, you know, you were talking about, I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name of the film from the 30s. Make Way for Tomorrow. That it seems like there's probably a lot in there that might feel familiar in a way to people today, just in terms of, like, dealing with this economic crisis and having to maybe have, like, a different, an uncomfortable living situation, navigating those things. But then you get all these things that now are anachronisms, like the Hays Code and all of that, but at the time are very much a part of what went into making film and making media at that time. So that's really interesting to me. And it made me think about when you're talking about, you know, like just having this film that is an alternative to the Marvel movies, the big blockbusters, Transformers, that I went and saw the movie Air recently, which is like a, you know, still like a pretty big budget movie played on lots of multiplexes, etc. But when I watched it, I was struck by the fact that at no point in the entire movie is there any, like, action. Like, there's no, like, even there isn't even the threat of physical violence at any point in the movie, and yet it's an entirely compelling story that has me hooked from beginning to end. And it's just interesting how rare that is today in a movie that you would go see. I mean, even like movies that come out for streaming or whatever, like, there always seems to be some, like, regardless of the genre, some amount of adventure or action or peril in that way. So it's really interesting to watch a movie that did not have any of that.
Yeah, I've seen Air myself, and that is something that I am wondering is starting to switch, because if you track the box office this month, a lot of these bigger films have all these special effects. They haven't been doing as well, and I think right now we're entering a sea change where there was a lot when the pandemic hit that it was thought that mid-budget films that are more story-driven, that don't contain a lot of action, we're going to go by the wayside. But it's looking now that those might have to start coming back because studios are starting to realize you can't put out like 20, $200, $300 million films and expect them to get a billion every time. Sure. Only 56 films in the history of the industry have done that. So VIF really helps get into see those smaller films. And if people go and see them and build, they'll put them in more theaters. And I know people may think, oh, well, you can watch them on streaming and that, but
it's different.
It is different because streaming just it becomes content when it goes to streaming because, you know, something gets thrown up there and nobody remembers it. I saw a joke recently where somebody posted, there's this film called The Snowman.
Okay.
From 2016, starring Michael Fassbender, and it has, horrible ratings. It didn't do well at all, and yet a couple months ago, it appeared on Netflix and was, the most watched movie on Netflix.
Right.
And people were telling, for all the money Netflix puts into their content, their number one films are still these,
terrible.
Nothing films that you only slightly remember because you heard it bomb elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the nature of streaming. It becomes content when it's there. When it's theatrical, there's a lot more of a conversation. That's why this weekend they're coming out with the Jennifer Lawrence movie No Hard Feelings, and I'm really interested in seeing that one because it's specifically a comedy, and those are just not being made as frequently these days. And those are the kind of mid-budget films that I want to see more of. And as much as I want to see films at the VIF Center, I live out in Coquitlam, so it's not
not easy.
If I go out there, that has to be my thing for the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe entertainment is an ecosystem, and it needs to have every single film should have a representation there, because if it doesn't, the whole thing it may not fail, but it falters.
For sure. And, I mean, I know that I, for a while now, have felt this sort of, particularly, Marvel fatigue, but just generally, fatigue towards, these big sort of special effects-driven blockbusters. And it's such a breath of fresh air to just get, an interesting movie that is built a different way, right? And CGSF usually have a sponsorship agreement with VIF, so we get to send people to go review films, and often we will have a specific film that we sponsor. A few years ago, we sponsored Edge of the Knife, which is a film that was made entirely on Haida Gwaii, featuring an almost entirely Haida cast, and the whole movie is shot in the Haida language. And it's subtitled, obviously. But it's, again, that kind of thing that I'm not going to find just browsing through on Netflix, right? It has to be a particular thing. And I think that another part of the theater streaming difference is, so I'm really big into the idea of, the ritual, right? And I think that with art, even just like the act of making art, the act of if you're painting, for example, the act of getting all your stuff together, setting up your space, and then doing the art, there is something of a ritual to that, right? You're doing the same thing over and over. You're doing these things and hoping to obtain some sort of result through it that is often, you say, spiritual or, psychological or whatever it is. And I think that by treating a movie as something that, you go to the theater, you go, you set time aside for it, you go, you buy your tickets, you line up, you get your snacks, you go, you find your seat, you sit there, you endure the barrage of terrible commercials, and then you watch a couple trailers, and then you're just there, you're in the theater. And so I think that there's something about the actual experience of going to the theater to watch the movie that can really make a big difference in that way.
Yeah, I myself, like it's funny you mentioned the commercials, because at the Viv General Meet, there was somebody who was, like, really upset about, you know, the commercials being shown. And, like, you know, I'm a person where I don't mind that stuff.
Hey, you got to make money.
Yeah, you got to make money, and that's a good way of doing it. But on the theatrical experience, like, I am, you know, I am one of those people who really advocate for it, because I've heard people say, like, oh, it's like, you know, a theater experience is elitist because it costs money or like that. But the truth is, like, I think people, like, we've gotten to the sense that with streaming, like, oh, we want everything to go that way, but it can't work like that, because mm-hmm. we're just not going to get, you know, interesting films and different ideas. It's something that theatrical really brings that forward, and that's why I want all kinds of films, because the theatrical experience works with everything. But I feel like lately they've, like, okay, anything that's like a comedy, especially because that's the genre that's been hit the most, it's like, well, this can be thrown on to streaming.
Right. It's like there's this thought that those kinds of movies don't gain anything from being on the big screen, which is in my, and I think your opinion, false, right? Like, there is value to seeing films other than the big like, obviously the big special effects things, like, yeah, it makes sense. A big screen, you want to see the visuals, but we've been watching movies in theaters for a long time for a reason, right?
Yeah, well, like, when I've looked at theaters, the thing with theaters is, you can look at, like, every kind, when you look at every kind of, like, entertainment when it comes to, like, how it's been, like, distributed, outside of, like, plays, which still happen, the theatrical experience really, like, its core thing hasn't changed in over 100, you know, 120 years. Like, it's still people going into a theater, sitting in chairs, watching a movie on a screen, mm-hmm. you know. It hasn't, it's not like, you know, watching things at home where they went to, like, the TV and then the VCR and then the DVD and then streaming. It's still, like, it's almost a connection to the past, because mm-hmm. what people were somebody watching a movie in the 1930s and someone watching it now, it's very much still the same experience. The only thing that's really changed is that, you know, there's been, like, sound and color put in now, which, you know, that's the biggest advancements, and things have gone better, digital quality and that, but the core is still there, which I always find interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're down to 10 minutes left in the show, so I'm going to play one last bit of music, and then we'll come back and wrap up. Cool conversation about film with Craig here.
It is one of my passions.
All right. This is the artist Status Non-Status with a track from their most recent release, January 3rd. This one is called Glide, and if you're a fan of Neutral Milk Hotel, you'll probably like the way this one sounds.
Thank you.
Speak Up here on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. You just heard Glide by Status Non-Status. And we have a little bit of time here. I do want to end on my rotating weekly feature, which, for your benefit, audience, and also Craig, so we have a remote studio down at near Main and Hastings that we can broadcast from or do pre-records from, etc. It has also turned into our sort of auxiliary storage for our CD collection. You listeners cannot see, we're in the B studio right now, which is also auxiliary storage. In here there are, you know, there's a bunch of boxes of files and stuff, but there are also crates full of cassette tapes. Those are behind you, Craig. There's milk crates and other crates full of vinyl records. But down at 312, our remote studio, we have a portion of the digitized CD library. And while I'm down there, I like to sort of go through, see if I can find any gems, and play one of those gems for you and me. And this week, I have one of my all-time favorite artists. Craig, are you familiar with the works of Mr. Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh, yes, very much so.
Do you have a favorite Weird Al song? I know this. It's like picking your favorite child, probably.
Oh, God, it is. I like a lot of his, some of these, like, you know, like a Surgeon or, you know, I'm Fat. That one's that one's a good one. And, I'm trying not to get too. I know we don't have much time in the show, but I could talk about like Weird Al for a whole show.
Forever. Well, maybe that's our next show plan. Is we'll just dive into Weird Al. I found the CD single for Amish Paradise by Weird Al from the record Bad Hair Day,
great one.
An all-time classic, and that's what's going to carry you through until Democracy Now at 11. So, Craig, thanks for hanging out with me for the hour. You out there, thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Of course. Here we go. Amish Paradise.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain, but that's just perfect for an Amish like me. No, I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds the chickens and Jacob plows. Fool, and I've been milking and plowing so long that even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone. I'm a man of the land, I'm into discipline. Got a Bible in my hand and a beard on my chin. But if I finish all of my chores and you finish done, then tonight we're going to party like it's 1699.
Best day in most of my life, living in Amish paradise. Shrimp butter once or twice, living in Amish paradise. If hard work is sacrifice, living in Amish paradise. Sound proof at discount price, living in Amish paradise.
A noble boy kicked me in the butt last week. I just smiled at him and I turned the other cheek. I really don't. I wish him well, cause I'll be laughing my head off when he's burning in hell. But I ain't never punched a tourist, even if he deserved it. And Amish with a tree, you know that's unheard of. I never wear buttons, but I got a cool hat. And my homies agreed, I really look good in black. If you come to visit, you'll be bored to tears. We haven't even paid the phone bill in 300 years. But we ain't really quaint, so please don't point and stare. We're just technologically impaired.
There's no phone, no lights, no motor car, not a single luxury. Like Robinson Crusoe, it's a dream.